Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwen Berry, and our guest, who is with us so often, presidential authority and author, Ron Fineman. And I want to explain for just one moment why we played that intro from, if you don't remember, it was the intro from a little show back in the 60s called Hazel. And what it is, if it's an uplifting, yeah, we got this, life is beautiful kind of an intro.
Yeah.
Even though, gentlemen, I think we're all pretty blue right now.
Yeah, in a good way. A good kind of blue.
I just thought, you know, sweep on in here on a broom because, although I would caution everybody, we've felt this good before and woke up to tears and tantrums.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing nationwide, though, Gwen, differs a lot than it did 2 years ago. You know, everybody was so certain that Hillary was going to win, but in the end, Trump did. But people are not so certain that way anymore. Now they're full of revulsion for him. And they're voting in reaction to it in record numbers. And yes, he's drummed up a lot of votes too, but I think in the end he's going to be the loser and his party.
Yeah, I wanted to step in here to say, you've got to remember, Trump did not win the popular vote in the 2016.
That's right.
And this is a popular vote. The only thing that's not a popular vote decision is the Electoral College for president. But everything else, whoever gets the most votes, and he has never gone above like the mid-40s in public opinion polls, and I predict a massive loss in the House and possibly a Senate majority, maybe not, but I think at least a gain of the seat to 50-50 Democrats and about 10 or 11 governorships, which would make them a majority of the governors, and that affects reapportionment of seats in 2020 after the census. So I think it's going to be a repudiation overall of Donald Trump on this Tuesday.
Very well put, Ron, and I agree.
I have to say, there have been quite a few times, I imagine, on your end, both of you, this year, where things have happened because of the words and the actions of this idiot. First it was the pipe bombs. That was really bad. And then, of course, the shooting in the Kroger grocery store where two black people were
That Las Vegas shooting earlier that was devastating.
There have been so many. And then, though, the one thing I did want to say here, the sanctuary at Tree of Life in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
broke
God.
My heart. It broke my heart. And then to have, of course, a rabbi would never say no to an open, askance, can I come and give my regrets or my blues to you, as the White House acted for in political opportunism there.
Yeah.
The son of a bitch actually showed up, and the majority of the town turned their backs on him and sang, chanted the prayer for, is it called, Ron, is it Kaddish?
Yes.
And tried to let him know how horrified they were. It was an atrocity that this president showed up there and tried to make it a political moment for himself. And all he did about the whole thing, the whole time he's been in office over and over again, is prove to the world what a whiny little bitch he is, because he gets on Twitter and makes it all about him.
Oh, yeah, what a baby.
It was just awful. But to have 11 Jewish people, elders, mowed down that way by
it was an absolute nightmare. And you know, I'm so proud of those residents, the locals. 5,000 of them came out to protest his visit, as well they should have. And I'm glad they took the activist route and they did that.
Well, and not only were they there to protest him, but to show their respect for, because not all of them were Jews. And you know,
right.
the Muslim imam in the neighborhood, in the area of Pittsburgh there, do you know they raised now, I think it's close to $200,000 for the families and for the
repair. That was wonderful.
Oh,
all of the repair on the temple. And to go into a holy place, to me, that's it. And it's all because of this son of a bitch ginning up people to think that a couple of thousand of fleeing asylum seekers with their children en route here.
Are on an invasion course. How pathetic.
And they're all being, you know, funded by, you know, the
George Soros.
Give
me a break.
They really bad-mouthing George Soros, who doesn't deserve it in his old age either. He's not a villain.
No.
It's terrible, you know.
Yeah, it's just outrageous.
No, Soros is not a villain. I mean, Adelson, you can't, you know, is a Jew too. How do you reckon that with people? He's willing to give as much and more to Republicans. So, I mean, it's incredible, just incredible what this man has done in not even 2 full years.
And I must add, Vice President Pence had that phony rabbi Jews for Jesus defrocked rabbi, and he didn't realize that he wasn't really a rabbi. He had been defrocked, and that Jews for Jesus wants to make all Jews Christians, otherwise they'll go to hell, is the viewpoint. So that's outrageous, too, that Pence, out of all the people, you know, that he had to invite a person who's not a real rabbi, which shows the danger that he represents with his Christian extremism.
He's very extreme.
The ineptitude of not just this, not just Pence, but everybody that he's brought in, everybody. They've all been miserable failures. Everyone on his cabinet, everyone, they've all been so inept. And the country, not only on a global setting, but of course here at home, we're all paying the price. But like both of you guys have said, the certainty is that people have stepped up to the moment, and most of all, the millennials and the youth.
They're incredible.
It's their world, not ours.
Hats
it's
off to them, man.
World.
Hats off to them.
And there's also the greatest gender gap of women and men developing.
Yes.
It's very clear. But the vast majority of women are going to turn against Trump, which is well deserved.
I would agree.
I know Republican women who are. It's like, no, this is, you know, it's gone way beyond. And, polls, though, have been notorious. Wrong for the last few elections out there. And they've gone through their periods where it's happened like that before. But I've got to tell you, I did go over, I have gone over a few times to look at Real Clear Politics, which I think gives a good roundup of, you know, the polls. And boy, it's awful blue over there.
It sure is. Thank God for that.
It's
wonderful.
Awful blue, but it's tight. In fact, as of yesterday morning, they did have Rick Scott up by 1 point.
Which poll is that?
Real Clear Politics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got – this is extraordinary, though. The direction of the country is up on the wrong track, 54-38.
Yeah, that's pretty decisive. And it will be reflected in the vote, I'm sure of that.
The only thing we have to worry about is whether there'll be Russian collusion again, and we won't be able to know it in the short run. We might be shocked by the results if there's collusion. That's the one thing I worry about the most.
I've heard people talking about that, Ron, and they've said, some have said that they think Putin's kind of at a standoff, a standstill right now. He doesn't know exactly what to do because it was easy to focus on one gullible, stupid rich guy, Trump. But this is state by state elections, and it's a lot more diverse and it's a lot more complex than anything he's ever attempted. Let's hope that he never tries again. But at any rate, let's hope that's true and that he is flustered and can't do much about it.
Well, yeah, I'm also concerned about voter suppression going on in Georgia and in Kansas by the state secretaries of state who are the Republican nominees for governor, Brian Kemp in Georgia and Chris Kobach, who's really despicable in Kansas, and how that might affect what's going on, because now there's the news.
Georgia is
states saying that there's been corruption by the Democratic Party in Georgia, starting an investigation right before the election.
That's just bullshit.
I agree. And the way they're just disenfranchising Native Americans because they don't have
North Dakota,
addresses.
Yes.
North Dakota.
But if you want to know, the Arizona State Senate for McCain's seat is up 3 points with the Democrat.
Yeah, she's going to win that.
The Republican there, Martha McSally, to the camera was saying she supports pre-existing conditions being covered, and she voted that way. And then she said, "I don't want to discuss it. I want to discuss the caravan."
They're all doing that now. They're all coming out in favor of Obamacare and pre-existing condition coverage, and they voted 70 times against
all of them. Yeah.
But do you realize that 2 days? I guess it was 2 days ago on a Thursday, a week before the election. The executive order that Trump signed so that states can allow insurance companies to drop people or refuse people who have pre-existing conditions.
Or charge them through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody votes for Republicans thinking they're going to protect pre-existing conditions, they really are morons because they're not following the news. They don't know what the votes were, and they have to really understand, but they may not, that they're being lied to so openly, just like with Trump. They lie so incessantly. It's not like just occasionally. Every day he's got like 8 lies a day on the average. He's had over 5,000 lies. And how anybody could believe him is beyond me. Yeah.
Well, for those people, Ron, all we can do is offer them some very attractive oceanfront property in the middle of the Sahara Desert. those people are absolute morons.
It's just shocking to realize how many there are of them in the country. But here's something that I was wondering about. What is the one Senate race that you would like to see go surprisingly blue?
Well, the one I really want, and I wrote about it on my blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, is, of course, Beto O'Rourke overcoming Ted Cruz, who I put on my dream list to defeat. He's number one on the list, Ted Cruz. And Beto O'Rourke looks a little like Robert Kennedy, although he's not related to him, and he's like a rock star. The younger generation really is thrilled about him, and there's been some discussion whether he wins or loses, even if he loses, that he could end up being a future potential presidential candidate because he excites people, Beto O'Rourke.
I've seen him in action on TV and on the trail. I haven't been out in Texas, but I've seen clips of him, and he is magnificent. He's articulate as the word go, and he knows what he's talking about. He's not a fool. He's nobody's fool. That guy is on top of his game.
He appeals to people on a sincerity level like nobody I've seen since Bobby Kennedy.
Right. Yep.
That's right. He's like a Bobby Kennedy. He looks like him a little bit, too.
People
think he's a Kennedy. He's not. But he resembles a bit like not Bob, obviously not John or Ted, but more like Bobby Kennedy. Yes.
Yeah.
There's also another Senate race I'd love to see go to the Democrats. It would really,
Tennessee, with Marsha Blackburn losing to Phil Bredesen.
I love that. I would love that.
Yeah, that
would
be nice.
Which one are you thinking of, Gwen?
I want to see Arizona. I want to see.
I think that's going to happen.
It's Sonoma, yes. And also Jackie Rosen to beat Dean Heller in Nevada. If they could gain, which is a big thing, which I don't think will happen, if they could gain all four of those seats, the Democrats, they could actually lose two of their red state Democrats, because they would go from 49 to 53 and then lose two would be 51. So if they could win, of course, that's a big thing, but they could lose a couple. I think that Claire McCaskill is in trouble and Heidi Hagkamp is in trouble, those two particularly, and probably.
And that Josh Hawley guy that's going against McCaskill. He's despicable. He's such a toady. It's just unbelievable.
Yes, but he is apparently a little ahead right now. Those two states are troublesome. And also Florida is troublesome. There's no guarantee that Bill Nelson will win.
Hawley and McCaskill are in a dead heat as of today.
Well, let's hope that enough Democratic voters show up and really push her over the top. That's Hawley guy.
Nelson and Scott, as of yesterday, Nelson was at 48 and Scott was at 49, and that's more of a dead heat.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, it's a dead heat for the congressional seat. Feinstein, of course, is up 7 points in Cali. In Missouri, well, we just talked about that. I'm reading the Real Clear Politics report.
Yeah,
Heller and Rosen, kind of a dead heat because there's only 2 points difference in his. The Iowa governor's race got the Democrat up 2 points.
That's good.
Also in the Great Plains, they're saying that South Dakota and also Oklahoma could possibly be surprised, and Ohio and Illinois and Michigan and Wisconsin, they could all go blue, and that would really affect reapportionment and would probably help
that's
the Democratic nominee because the Midwest is in 2020 because the governorship is by a Democrat. It helps the Democratic nominee.
Yes. That's what we need so badly. There's no doubt about it. So let us hope and pray real hard that the Democrats will come through and be able to achieve some big, magnificent, astounding upsets, because that is what this country needs so badly. We've got to overcome this Republican cheating. All they can do is cheat. They got to gerrymander, and they got to do things on a sly basis behind the scenes, out of the public eye, just to so that they can maintain their power. Let's expose these guys and let's throw them out of office, man.
Yes, we got to point out that the Republicans in presidential elections had manipulation effects. In 68 with Nixon, 80 with Reagan, 00 with Bush, and obviously 16 now. And even 04 with Bush, there was questions about Ohio. Questions, but the Republican always seems to win in those cases. The Democrats just don't seem to have the ability to overcome these dirty tricks.
Yeah, I think, what's his name, the senator in Ohio right now, a good guy.
Sherrod Brown, yes.
Yeah, I think he's up for election. I think he's going to win handily this year.
Yeah,
you
I think
what,
he will,
though?
And he'll hopefully
he
carry
might be
in
a very interesting presidential candidate down the line, if not in 2020, in 2024.
And also, Richard Cordray, the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, is the Democratic nominee for governor of Ohio, and he would be a real – he's only 59, so I see him, if he became Ohio governor, Ohio being crucial, he could be a future presidential possibility
as well.
That's
a good point, too, yeah.
You know what, guys? Enough with the old men. Bang.
Well, 59 isn't old.
Well, when you're talking presidential politics, if you're 40 years old, you're not going to get elected. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. I don't give a shit.
Unless you're Joe Kennedy III, maybe you could.
Yeah.
Some people think he might run.
Well, he's sharp enough.
But all you guys are talking about is a bunch of old men, and you're not looking at what we really need, which I think is a female in the Oval Office.
Well, I agree. That's why I voted for Hillary last time, even though I had reservations about certain things. But by and large, she had the credentials. There's no doubt about it. And
I'm an Amy Klobuchar fan when it comes to the women. I think
she's
the Midwest.
Incredible.
I think she's the best of the women that could run, in my opinion.
She's
even though there's
Elizabeth
Warren and Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris, I would put her, either her, meaning Klobuchar, or Harris ahead of the other two.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would agree. Warren, because of her experience with organizational qualities and what it's going to take to rebuild this country after the mess we're in right now, you have to have somebody at the helm who knows how to move the chess pieces around on the board quickly and how to create the authoritative committees and subcommittees that it's going to take to redo all of the damage that has been done. And if you're not thinking in terms of that kind of experience and longevity and looking at a success record of getting those things done before, then you're not realistically looking at anybody who can heal the country. And Elizabeth Warren has those qualities in her back pocket.
She would definitely be one of my favorites. There's no doubt about it.
And Kamala Harris is a fine politician, so far, knock wood. This might be surprising, but I'd really like to see Al Frankel or Franken run for office again.
His seat will probably be safe, though, with Tina Smith, who replaced him. It looks like she's going to win it.
Oh, she's going to win. She's up by about nine points or so she's going to win.
Yeah. Now, Minnesota is, you got to remember, Amy Klobuchar comes from the tradition of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Walter Mondale, and Paul Wellstone. And really, a Midwestern candidate is one too many, and I think that's why I consider her a significant possibility.
Plus, she has background in law. She knows how things work.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, guys, you're talking about politicians who have been, you know, milquetoast in the background, Mondale, Humphrey, gee, come on.
Sorry, I'm going to disagree. I was a big Hubert
Humphrey was no
50 years ago.
I'm sorry.
My original hero.
Humphrey had his ups and downs. There's no doubt about it. And he sided too long with Lyndon Johnson. But I'll tell you what, Humphrey was no milquetoast. He was a firebrand.
And Walter Mondale was the best vice president we've ever had. Really active and involved with Jimmy Carter. Stands out. And he's still around at 91 now.
Who's that?
Oh, I know.
Mondale.
Look, my first vote was for Jimmy Carter, and it didn't surprise me a bit when Carter had said that in the primaries he voted for Saunders, because Saunders was almost a replay of Jimmy Carter. But the thing is that when you're talking about moving on down the road here, this is a different world. It's not the world of the 1960s or 70s or 50s or even the 80s. It's a world that has changed and shifted so much. And there are so many women on the ballot, gentlemen.
That's a great sign.
So many women on the ballot.
And there, Gwen, before you know it, there will be a woman in the White House. I guarantee it.
I want to live to see it, and I want to walk.
Oh, you will.
With those signs.
You'll see it very quickly.
Because it's just been way too long, and men, when you get men sitting around the table, putting directing the authority and how to get things done, there's always too much give and take, whereas when you have a woman sitting at the table, she chooses the people to sit there that she knows will be ready to go to work right away.
Well, I disagree. I've seen it on a professional level. I've seen it on a professional level. I disagree. That's not entirely correct.
But politically, in the Democrats.
Oh, politically, business-wise, it's the same damn difference.
Oh, really? You think that Hillary Clinton had gone into the Oval Office, she wouldn't have had it all straightened out by the end of the first month? Who was going
where?
Yeah,
because she's a domineering personality, and she would have gotten the job done, and
she
has incredible knowledge about government.
So tell me just how compliant guys are with people bringing in new ideas. Tell me how good.
Well, I'd say I'm pretty compliant.
You and I are not typical people.
No, I know, but there are numbers. There, you know, I don't think you can generalize like that, Gwen. That really irritates me when I hear that, because I think that's pretty ignorant. I really do.
Well, you think it's ignorant that women might be better at?
That's not at all what I'm not even inferring that.
What are you saying that?
Well, I think it's wrong to just say that, oh, men can't do this because blah, 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 blah. That's nonsense. It's utter nonsense.
historically, when men get into office, there's a pretty, including Obama, there was a long term. His was shorter than most. So was, what was his name? The Republican who walked in with Reagan. Sorry. Reagan walked in with everything billeted out right away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had
he had all kinds of advisors behind him that were advising him. Yeah. Reagan was a little puppet.
Carl Rove, Roger Stone. I mean, he had a whole crew.
He had a whole cadre of crooks behind him.
Yeah. I'm not calling Reagan a crook. I'm just saying that he got buffaloed.
I think he was duped. Yeah, I agree.
He got buffaloed, but
he was their figurehead, and they gladly advanced him because he had a persona on TV and was a handsome, debonair looking guy, and they knew they could sell him, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. When you take a look at problem resolution and getting things done, and you go to other countries, and of course nothing compares to America because we are so vast, we are so large with so much industry and so much resource capability. But when you go to places like Western Europe and take a look at who's been running countries, and you can see right off the bat, one of the premier, the most sterling, the well-polished.
Angela Merkel.
That's right, baby.
And you know what? The sad thing is that she's not going to run now, and some right-wing guy is going to take her spot. And
that's sad,
nasty.
Yeah.
That's very nasty.
It's not for sure that will happen, but, yeah, she is stepping back off. She's reading the tea leaves with her own political party. Her own political party is losing its gravitas, so she's stepping back. And you know what? You know how many years she served that country? You know, you can't blame her for wanting to say enough is enough. You know?
Well, but she's done a marvelous job, and she's really, really, she's really pacified a lot of people in that country, and to a good degree. And she's
worked with them. She's worked with them. She worked with the environmentalists. She worked with the industrialists. She worked with everybody. She reached across the borders, and she was one of the instruments that helped to bring the EU about with such sturdy foundation when it did come about. Mm-hmm. They got the slats knocked out right from under them with that Brexit thing. And I'm not talking about someone like Theresa May either. I think Ron will probably agree with me on that. She is not what I would call a good leader.
I do not think she is good. I mean, but I tell you, everybody in Europe looks better than our president.
That's for damn sure.
That's for sure.
God almighty.
And they all roll their eyes and they sigh and what they say behind the scenes. And with all the authoritarians, they now know they can listen to his phone conversations, and they know they just have to flatter him. And meanwhile, he alienates all the Democratic small-D leaders, including Canada as well.
And that is a weakness.
That's true. That is true. That's incredible. Just freaking incredible that this guy has got his head so far up his ass that he would sit on the phone and talk about his plans and what he's doing in his office and with a knowledge that he could be overheard by foreign governments. It's like, is this his agreement to let all the information out to these people for the profits he is accruing from their country?
Well, he's pathetic. He's very greedy and very self-centered, and he's got to go. We cannot afford any more time with that guy. And the earliest opportunity we have to kick his ass out, the better we had damn well better do it quick.
Yeah, I wanted to mention here that today, Sunday, on History News Network, I published an article, what would other presidents have thought of Donald Trump? And I estimate how all the presidents who he lived through from Truman on would judge him, and mention other presidents earlier, how I thought they would also look at him. And I came to the conclusion only two presidents would probably admire him, Andrew Jackson and Andrew Johnson. And he's more like Andrew Johnson than he is Andrew Jackson.
Right.
Jeez. So, you know, you should look it up. You know, I have it on Facebook, but it's on historynewsnetwork.org. You can find the article, Jack. It's really interesting. I see 13
people
really shared
it. I will do that. That sounds very intriguing, Ron. Thank you.
You know, Ron, I want to ask you a question. I'm sure you have. I mean, I was actually graduating high school when Nixon walked out of the White House. And in the last couple of years.
Young woman.
I
graduated. I started college at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, wow.
1962. So I'm a dozen years older than you, I guess. Oh, my God. Okay, go ahead.
But my bones is feeling it, though. But I was going to ask you, with everything we've learned, if you've been watching Rachel Maddow this week, she has been right on top of a few things, like the declassification of the grand jury indictments that they were going to send to Congress to begin impeachment proceedings on Nixon, and the correlation between that and what is happening right now. I have a question for you, Ron. First of all, it's absolutely the way to go. I get it. I understand that, because indicting a sitting president, it is questionable.
Right.
But it isn't the proper thing to be done, and that's why Nixon left, was because of what Congress can immediately proceed with and begin. First of all, I just have a sneaking feeling, like a lot of people might have, that there is probably enough evidence that Mueller has collected to go that route. But there is also this. Do you think immediately after the elections this week that Sessions is going to be fired or resigned, and that Saturday night
massacre with Rod Rosenstein being fired, you mean, right?
Right, with Rosenstein either being pushed out or what have you. But then it's the third Solicitor General who comes up, and he's the one who's in cahoots with Kavanaugh and
That Francisco guy.
Yeah. Do you think that they will try to squash the investigation and lockbox the evidence that he's gathered so far? And boy, I hope he's copied everything over to the congressional.
Well, I understand the time of the Nixon situation that they had copies of everything because they realized that something like this could happen. And I think they're probably doing the same thing now. And I have a sneaking feeling we're going to hear soon from Robert Mueller, and very soon. And, you know, it was May 17th of 2017 that he was appointed by Rod Rosenstein. And we're coming up to November 17th. And I think in the next week after the midterms, we're going to hear from him in the next 10 days after.
I hope so.
They wanted to wait till the midterms are over, I understand. But I think we're going to have a bombshell before Thanksgiving. I really do. I hope so, too.
Well, it seems that with the mechanizations that have been happening in D.C. and the calls to come to the grand jury, the callbacks that are happening with Bannon and Stone, that it would seem that Mueller has pieced this, walked it right into the Trump campaign headquarters long before the election, with a collusion with Russia to place before the people. I think that's where all of that is going. The WikiLeaks deal, that was the cut for the WikiLeaks deal. You know, you give us what we want, we'll throw this to WikiLeaks type of thing. This is what's going on to the table right now.
I also want to point out that in New York, they're doing separate investigations of business dealings of the Trump Organization, and
good.
That is not covered under a pardon or under anything having to do with Mueller. So he's in trouble, our president, even without Mueller. Even if he's pointed out, there's other things that can be done against the president.
Yeah,
I think that's got to come under RICO myself. But the other bad thing that happened this past week, too, because there have been so many events that have shocked the nation. And this is one that has gone under the wire. Not many people are reporting it, but a young black man named Dane, and that's D-A-N-Y-E, Danny or Dane Jones, he's the fourth, too, Ferguson activist, to be found dead, hanging. His mother is a very outspoken. His mother is Melissa McKinney. She's one of the most outspoken and well-traveled for Ferguson activists there are. He was hung like he was lynched.
Oh, my God.
Like he was lynched
his,
or something,
on
huh?
On, yeah, on his front porch. This happened last month.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of this stuff going on that isn't being reported.
Well, racism is still active in America. It's sad to say, and we've got to keep battling it every step we can. And the fact that the news media isn't paying attention anymore, that's really dangerous, and that's unhealthy.
Well, there are
and anti-Semitism is rampant as well, and
oh, yeah.
Not just what happened in Pittsburgh, but otherwise.
Oh, yeah, my God.
A growing threat. And the president may have Jewish relatives, but he really is not addressing the issue in condemning white supremacists who tend to be anti-Semitic as well as racist, homophobes, and nativists and misogynists.
You know, it's like before World War II. First of all, Hitler got a lot of his great ideas from American society, too. And the
South, with the African-Americans of the South, yes.
And a lot more Americans supported Hitler than you might think did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a new book out about that, yes. And Charles Lindbergh, of course, was the most controversial anti-Semite of all.
And how ignorant that guy was. Good God, how stupid could a guy be? He was pretty damn dumb. You look at him now and you know how stupid he was.
But, you know, I don't know whether you're aware, maybe, that later in his life, you know, he lived until 1974, he did a lot of business, he was away from his wife, and he had two other relationships, apparently got married in Germany to two other women who didn't know each other and had children with both of them. So he had three wives and had children from all three. Isn't that amazing?
He was a scoundrel. He was a disgusting man. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yeah, look up Lindbergh. You'll see the adult children are now maybe 50, 60, 70 in Germany. Two different families. I mean, I was shocked when they met about 10, 15 years ago. And wow, I mean, what a character this guy was, but he got away with it.
He could have been Trump's best friend.
And, of course, there were those who thought he could have been a presidential candidate if only things had been different in 1940 against Bilkey. He might have been able to run, but he didn't, of course.
No, it's clear to note now that he did not have what it took to be a president back then.
Well, does Trump have the ability to be a president now? But
No, not at all, no.
So it doesn't mean you have to be qualified. You just have to have the right way to manipulate yourself into the job, you know.
Well, I don't think he had enough manipulation going even back in 1940. He had his following, and he had people that swore by him left, right, and center, but they were smaller than Trump's followers, you know.
Well, pressure groups were different back then. They were not as significant as they've become today. You know, today it's much easier to manipulate voters and to promote as the real fake news, not what the media says, but what the different political elements want us to think.
Right.
Yeah, but I think American people are still pretty much basically, even with the growth of them, I think percentage-wise, most Americans are good, decent people. And they oppose this kind of thing. I mean, there's a state legislator out in Washington who has now come under FBI scrutiny for writing a how-to killing guide on non-believers in a holy war, including Jews. I mean,
through this person's mind? It's unbelievable.
Mentally ill people. That's the problem. They have guns. That's the problem, too.
Yeah, that's bad, too, Not good. Well, let's hope the FBI finds something on this guy and puts him away, because that's crackpot stuff. You know, the crackpots have gained prominence all of a sudden, and the wackier they are, the more listened to they are, it seems to be, in certain cases, and that's not healthy at all.
And the problem is that they get attention, of course, when they're arrested, and that makes others want to be copycats, so they get That's the danger of having another attack on a Jewish synagogue or on a black church or who knows what, or attacks on gays or women or whatever. It's horrifying.
There are a lot of no minds out there, isn't that, you know, and I'm not being elitist here because I'm not elite at all, but I'll tell you what, there are a lot of stupid no mind people out there. All they could do is copy because it's in the news, and they want to be in the news too. That's a very bad lack of character, I would say.
Well, you want a little cheering.
Of course.
A little cheering up here. Air Force One flew into Montana this past week to, you know, cheer and rabble rouse and get people into a big old fear and loathing and hate fest with Trump. And I guess a bunch of the Montana men got out there with their tractors in the field that is right in front of the airport approach. And they mowed FU 45 into the field.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. That's great. Well, that shows you there are a lot of good American people out there.
Well, let's face it, Trump has been insulted in many different ways all the time, and it makes him more infuriated. No president's ever had such disrespect, but he deserves every bit of the disrespect.
He's gotten people's rancor going, man. And, you know, that's not healthy. That is not good. You know, he's always out to piss people off, and he's succeeded.
And his children sit there and accept that they don't challenge anything.
Well, here's the thing. He's wanting to pull back the rights of children born in this country by immigrant parents who at the time of birth are not citizens, right? Well, his wife, Ivana. His wife, Ivana, were not citizens of the United States when those children were born. So that means we can throw out Eric, Don Jr., and Ivanka. And they're on their asses with that. I mean, this guy is that freaking stupid, that much.
But there's a difference. They're white European ancestry.
Yes,
that's
right.
He doesn't care. But if somebody who's brown or yellow or black or red, as you say, that's a different story in his mind.
Yeah. Good point, Ron. I have
another question for you gentlemen. I listened to about three different news sources from Democracy Now! Over to MSNBC and I even went to CNN, which I got to tell you guys, I don't CNN much because most of those guys are idiots over there.
And
all they like to do is present antagonizing arguments for people to suck into.
Rick Santorum, the former Pennsylvania senator on the press every Sunday. I shake my head. I say, how does this guy even get this anymore, you know?
Chuck Todd is a notorious
toady.
Blowhole. Yeah, he's a blowhole. That's the only thing you can say about him. But I want to know what you think, and certainly the Pentagon is a bit miffed. But 15,000 troops that he is saying can shoot at.
That's not legal. That cannot be done.
That won't happen.
And in fact, that's something I consider a war crime. Even the concept that if somebody throws a rock, you start opening up fire. Although that happened at Kent State University in 1970, it did.
Well, you know, Trump says that in front of his rallies, and all these no-mind idiots that think he's God go out there and they rant and rave. Wow,
and one of them might very well at the border. These border groups that are fanatical might decide to kill some of these refugees.
A lot of militia headed down there. There's a lot of militia heading down there. But here's the thing. First of all, and you brought up Kent State, which came to my mind too. But that was National Guard. That wasn't U.S. military at Kent State, and they were under the governor's purview.
Mm-hmm.
But for a president to send active armed troops down into, correct me if I'm not wrong, this is martial law.
That's right, but I think that's his ultimate intention. In fact, there's concern that if he loses massively or his party loses on Wednesday, he'll say it's fake, he's not accepting it. What happens if he says that?
Well, what the hell can he do when he's got a whole new Congress of people sitting in there that are opposing his every action?
Not until January.
He'll be politically powerless.
Not until January.
Yeah, well...
I found it interesting that Paul Ryan did challenge him on the whole idea of birthright citizenship.
Yeah,
he,
good for Ryan.
Once, right, and he said
that's
he
good.
Should go back to worrying about keeping the House Republican. He got really nasty with Ryan. But Ryan's leaving now, so it'd be nice if he had some guts in the last 2 months, but I don't know if he will.
I don't know either.
Ryan is nothing but a political opportunist. He's a profiteer and a crook.
I wonder what he's going to do now once he's retired.
Point me at, including Jeff Milquetoast Flake, point me at a Republican right now that you can't look at and say what a disappointment you are.
Bob Corker, who's leading the Senate from Tennessee, leaving the Senate from Tennessee, who speaks up occasionally, and also Ben Sasse of Nebraska, who's young in his 40s, has a PhD in history, which makes him someone I'm not going to say.
They've all gotten in line with this madman. They've all
speak up. Sasse does criticize Trump much more than most, but not saying that he votes against him. But he does speak up, and so does Corker once in a while, and so does Flake. But Corker and Flake are gone, so Sasse is the only one I think has even spoken up really against him.
There was only one Republican who voted against him and said this is wrong. And the guy was dying. He walked in the House and he said no. And he put it down, and that was the ACA bill. That was John McCain.
Yep.
Yes. And what about Lindsey Graham, how he's gone nuts since
he's become such an
ass kisser, I guess I'll say. You know, and I'm sure McCain would be furious with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has,
well, Lindsey Graham
has no honor whatsoever. I also wondered what you gentlemen thought of the resignation tendered by South Carolina ex-governor and toady for him at the UN there, Nikki Haley. What'd you think of that?
I think she's got ambitions for higher office, and she doesn't want to be connected anymore to Trump, I think. But she made a couple of blunders in things she had said, like saying that they were laughing with him at the UN, not laughing at him. That's ridiculous. They were laughing at him. And I don't know why she had to even say anything then. So she blundered a few times. But she still probably is one of those people on the short list that people in the party, not saying outside, the Republicans probably a lot of them would like her to be a candidate for president.
Well, if there's any balance in the universe and justice at all, the Republican Party is decimated.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yes, absolutely do think so. Maybe we should rename the party the Whig Party and go back to Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, Abraham Lincoln instead.
it's crazy because when you think about it, I mean, my great-great-grandfather was a Republican, but he was an abolitionist.
Right, and that's when they had character, and that's when they stood for something meaningful.
Yeah, as they were progressive Republicans in the early 20th century, like Theodore Roosevelt and Robert La Follette Sr. and George Norris, and then liberal Republicans in the 60s and 70s, people like Jacob Javits, Clifton Case, Mark Hatfield, Charles Percy, Charles Mathias. All gone,
They're all disappeared now.
Could admire.
Yeah, you're right. Wow, and you could add Congressman Frank Horton to that list of progressive Republicans too.
Oh, there's others. I just gave a list of a few off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but there's quite a list.
Funny how Nelson Rockefeller for a time was a liberal Republican until
he made it out of the party today.
Far right, and then he became the vice president, and then he turned far right.
Yeah. That's what you call political expediency.
Yeah, pathetic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened there. I mean, there's no getting
around
it.
And we almost got Nelson Rockefeller in the White House. Those two assassination attempts I wrote about in my book, Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidents, about 1975 in September, 17 days apart.
Right.
Was twice shot at. Second time was more serious, and therefore Nelson Rockefeller would have become president, and that drove the conservatives of the party crazy.
Yeah.
And they made it clear to Ford in 76 when he defeated Reagan for the nomination for, you know, for a full term, that he had to drop Rockefeller and he picked Bob Dole instead.
Yeah.
And even Bob Dole, although he was not as good as the others, looks a lot better now, and he's now 95 than the people now. At least he seems not as bad. Everything is relative, of course.
He had kind of a hatchet mouth during the 76 campaign. I remember that.
He did.
He had kind of a hatchet mouth, and he never appealed to me.
Yeah. No, I didn't either. And of course, but yet he did work across the aisle with George Mitchell in the early 90s.
That's true. He did, yeah.
So he was not like Republicans now, and I don't think he likes what's going on.
No.
And, you know, but he's still around in 95. Imagine that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really pretty crazy. Like, nobody wanted to campaign with W after he left office. Nobody wanted Bill Clinton around this time, but they did ask for Hillary. She's made quite a few campaign stops.
Yeah.
She's raised millions too for this election.
Well, she'll have the last laugh on Trump. You wait and see. And it'll be well deserved.
I count on it. I really
well deserved. Yeah.
I got to ask you, especially you, Ron, what did you think? Have you seen the little snippet of Nancy Pelosi in the last couple of days? She was on Joy Reid today. She was on Stephen Colbert Friday night, and she's like, she's crowing like a rooster. I mean, she is crowing.
She's assuming, and I would tend to agree, the Democrats will win control, hopefully more seats rather than fewer, because there have been times in the past where 50 seats or 60 seats were lost by the party in the White House. That would be a dream. The theory is if everything went well, and it won't, of course, I think up to 71 seats could switch. But then there's also the opposite, that there could only be 15 seats, and that would mean not Democratic control. They need 23. So apparently the range is 15 to 71. That's why I say I think it's going to be probably 40 to 45. I'm in the middle of that range. But that's certainly enough. But imagine if it ended up, I even had an article on my blog saying, what if it's 218, 217, and the Republicans have 218 and a 50-50 Senate? Can you imagine what that would be like?
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Well,
but it could be 218, 217 either way. Hopefully not. But 15 seats would not be a majority. 71 would be a real wipeout.
I got to tell you, the only time I've ever seen Nancy Pelosi crow before, she was right on the money. So,
well, she was a good speaker of the House in 7, 8, 9, and 10.
She had a lot of things done.
Oh, she knows how to work it. But she is
sure
the
does.
Old machine. She is the old corporate machine. She really is. She and Feinstein and the rest of them should be mentoring people on how to govern and relinquish the seat to new blood. I'm really
That's a great idea, Gwen. I like that idea a lot.
You know,
Feinstein is going to win another 6 years at 85. She's the oldest member. I'm hoping at 91 she won't run again in 2024. It's time for a change. And maybe Gavin Newsom, the governor, who will be the new governor, could be the Senate replacement in 2024, or something happens to it sooner than 2024.
Yeah.
I heard scuttlebutt that Jerry Brown was going to put in a bid for a presidential run again.
It'd be 80 now. It'd be 82. Well, look, he ran in 76, 80, and 92. So I've joked about it that he could run, that he's going to be the candidate, although who knows the way this world works, but he could run. And also Hillary Clinton was asked a week ago, and she said, I don't want to run, but I'd like to be president. Everybody laughed. So I don't know what she's thinking, but I think she's hinting she might decide to run, which would really muddy up the works, because we already have about 50 people who talk about running. Can you imagine if you have more than 15 or so, or 17 like the Republicans, and we had to have all those people in one debate? That would be crazy. But we can have a very large number of candidates.
Joe Biden is a good guy. There's no getting around it. He's a good guy. But
I love him. He's my favorite. After Hubert Humphrey, they're my two heroes. Humphrey years ago, and then Joe Biden.
I remember who he was sitting in front of Anita Hill. So he's not always. He's never going to be my first choice for anything. Plus the fact that as the man from Delaware, he was a corporate bag man for years. So But he's done an awful lot of good. And there's just no denying the fact that Joe Biden is a nice, good man.
I think he's a front runner at the moment, but whether his age and with the fact of his long career, if it's going to be a plus in the long run or we're going to go to someone younger, I don't know.
He's not going to – you know who's pushing this vote through? I'm going to tell you who's going to push these votes through. It ain't going to be men. It's going to be women voting. And people are going to realize that a majority of the votes came from women. Women from the suburbs, women from – it's the woman candidate now. Who
well, the majority of the candidates are women now. Thank God, you know.
It's the women who are walking crisply. And if you stick another old white man up there, I got a feeling that there's a lot of people that are going to bitch and moan and holler and scream. And
but will they, if it was Biden against Trump, would they stay home? Or would they vote for him, you know, as long as he had a good woman vice president?
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, have you ever been a delegate, guys? Do you know what goes on in those meetings at DCCC? I mean, that's where the screaming, the yelling, and the hollering will go on.
They'll rip your face
that's
off.
That's where you'll find out where the majority of votes are coming from, and that's where the collective, that committee choice gets made. You know, are we going to be able to run this candidate? Is this candidate winnable material? Do the majority of voting Democrats want this candidate? That is the bottom effing line.
I want to point out, by the way, California, which usually had its primary for president in June, is having it on March 3rd, 2020, right at the beginning, not long after Iowa and New Hampshire. So the argument is, I wrote an article on History News Network, there's at least five Californians who are interested in running for president, and I would think Kamala Harris is probably the number one candidate.
And in theory,
that could give her a real boost if she could win the California primary, although there's divided delegates. Still, if she ends up first, that could really give her a boost to the nomination, and she's both a woman and a mixed-race person, and often called the female Barack Obama. So I think she's someone really that is in the front group of candidates.
She's sharp as a tack, there's no doubt.
She is a smart legislator. I've seen her work as a legislator. I have only in this midterm seen her speak for candidates a couple of times. And she's a good legislator. But she didn't make me, you know, want to get up on my feet and cheer her, okay? that was missing. That was missing. It was definitely missing. I agreed with everything she had to say, but she didn't inspire me. Not like
so who does inspire you?
Well, Gillum does. Beto O'Rourke inspires me. A little gal down here named Pam Keith inspires me. Elizabeth Warren inspires me. And who else in the women? You mentioned Kamala Harris, but there was one other. She inspires me.
Not Amy Klobuchar. I don't think you care for her too much, eh?
Oh, no, I like Amy Klobuchar.
I think she's great. She's my favorite if I had to pick out the women.
She ain't kicking the tires and lighting the fires the way that someone like
But, you know, some people would argue Elizabeth Warren would alienate more men, and you need a woman who is strong but doesn't alienate men. And I'm not sure Elizabeth Warren would go across well with a lot of men. Not me. I'm talking about in general. I think she might be seen as too out there, too much of a loudmouth. A man can be like Chris Christie and Newt Gingrich can get away with it.
Outspoken, she is.
I'm not sure it can work.
Such a chauvinistic thing to say, gentlemen. It is.
I don't think so. I think
it's a fact, Gwen.
I'm saying I think men don't like a loudmouth woman.
And see, that's the thing we have to change. We have to change.
Well, ideally, yeah, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly.
Well, it's happening. It's happening up and down the road right now with all these women who have been out there. Have you heard the little gal out of the Bronx talk? She'll get right up in your face.
Well, she's going to be in the House of Representatives, but I don't think that she is the kind of a person who can draw people to vote Democratic. I don't think. Not the men. I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about not blue-collar men.
Oh,
you need blue-collar men to be willing to back a woman. And I don't think they'd back her. Well, she's not going to win anyway. Or like an Elizabeth Warren. I think they want someone who's quite as loud.
You certainly have a point. I can't say that. I'm just saying it has to change. But you know what? We've gone right to the top of the hour, gentlemen.
Gosh, oh why? Why do we have to cut off?
Well, everybody, make sure you vote. We can't.
Yes, you all must vote, and we all have to pray, even if you're not religious, and hope for the best. And thanks so much for having us.
And just crack a nice beer on Tuesday night and sit back and enjoy.
I hope enjoy.
That's what I'm going to do.
We're also, you know, oh my gosh, is this really, you know, we have to get out there and vote. We have to get our neighbors out there to vote. If you have a car and you can drive people who can't get there, do it. Just be a good citizen and work for your community. And don't even ask people who they're voting for. Just say, if you need a ride, I'm here to take you. Just do your
best. I think all of us should get back together in a couple of weeks to discuss the results on this show, don't you think?
I'm sure we will.
It's a good idea.
I'm all for it.
Now, have a good evening, both of you.
Yeah, and you too. Keep up the good work there, Ron, and we'll look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks, Jack and Gwen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep, see you again, my friend.
Good luck to us all.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. There's going to be no miracle going to happen. No, Jesus isn't going to come down from the sky and bless everybody and turn the world on its ear. But we are going to be, we're going to see some very encouraging results. And it's up to us to deal with it properly and to make sure that it continues.
Well, maybe Buddha will come down instead of Jesus. How's that?
Right, yeah.
I'm good waiting point. For one of you to suggest that a witch will fly in.
Well, Halloween's passed, so that'll have to be next year.
Anyway,
everybody, keep pushing forward and make sure you think forward as you get in that voting booth.
Yeah.
All right, have a good time.
And
good luck.
You too. Thanks, Ron.
Okay, bye-bye.
Keep up the good work. And Gwen, thank
Bye.
You very much for your great show. And everybody, make sure you vote. It's so important. It is absolutely so important this time. The fence. Don't straddle the fence. Jump on one side of the lawn or the other.
And
very
remember,
important.
And remember to go over to Saturday Afternoon Post and read Jack's latest blog post.
It urges people to vote. So all the best to everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Yes. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
And the progressive professor.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
<That's great. laughs>
Bye-bye
now.
Everybody.